Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, David Patterson, and welcome to the Spirit of the Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, he said, clap your hands. This is how we praise. We should be thankful every day that we can come to the throne boldly and talk to our God. So we're going to do just that. We're excited today because God has woke us up and blessed us in so many ways. We should be fired up praising his name. So we're going to come to the throne in prayer, and we're going to ask God to give us guidance. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your wonderful, amazing love to us. Yes, Father God, it's only you that shows us, Father God, what true giving is all about. You show us what it means to be a cheerful giver because, Father God, you gave so much of yourself to us. So, Father God, we thank you today that you gave us your written word, that we could take it, Father God, to use it like a two-edged sword, Father God, to pierce the hearts of many. So as we go forward today, I ask you, Father God, to let me, the deliverer, decrease and let the Holy Spirit deliver and increase. So we praise and honor you, Father God, for this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, welcome. We're going to pick back up from our lesson from last week, asking the question, is your communication planting good seeds? Are you communicating from the heart? You know, Billy Graham says, if we wish to be men and women of God who can live victoriously, we need the two-sided gift that God has offered us. First, the work of the Son for us, and second, the work of the Spirit of God in us. Yes, he didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, and how to use that mind in a wise steward way. Well, normally I start off with a joke, but I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell a story about the power of what we're going to speak on today, of the areas of communication. But this is more about how someone did something, not so much just from the verbal communication, but from their actions. And this is a story of a true story of a man that I met this weekend who was in prison without chance of parole. Yet he had a son. And that son would come see him from the age of 4 all the way up to present day to 35. And each time he would go visit that son, the son, they would talk through the bars and what have you. That son would ask him, Daddy, when you coming home? And he would say, soon, son, soon. Now, it's important that we have a physical presence in someone's life. But it's even more important when we have the presence in someone's heart. And this was the case because this father could not get out. He was in prison. He couldn't get out and do all the things that a father who would have the physical presence, but he did all those, if you will, nonverbal things that would make the presence of his existence in this young man's heart important. He ensured through his lines of communication with his teachers, he had a relationship with his son's teachers. He had a relationship with his family. He had a relationship with his friends. He continued to maintain that presence. Again, we can't see God, but we have his presence in us. He continued to ensure that we have his presence through his word and through his disciples, and they're passing this information on. But this father continued to have that presence. And again, through the years of almost 30-something years, he continued to present to his son, Daddy, when you coming home? The son would ask this question, and the father would say, soon, son, soon. Well, that son, through that whole process, that son graduated from high school. He went to college. His father ensured that he got scholarships inside the prison. So his son went to University of Michigan, graduated, got his master's, and now is out speaking to the world. A highly known motivational speaker. Yet there's another part to the story. Again, we were told that this father could not get out of prison. No chance of parole. Well, that father was released from prison in April, and I got to meet that father and hear his story because he told us, again, it's not always the physical presence, but having a presence in someone's life, that nonverbal, I'm using it loosely, communication. Even though they had verbal communication, he ensured that what he couldn't do physically, he made sure he made connection emotionally, spiritually, mentally to ensure that his son would be the best he could be. So as was said, as you see the father, you see the son, and as you see the son, you see the father. We saw that and experienced that. And another part of this is that we see the power of God. All things are possible. With man is impossible. With God, all things are possible for them that believe. So what's the moral story? Even though he wasn't present with his son, his nonverbal actions prove that as long as the person has a presence in your life, things can get done. So let us move forward. We're going to recap. So again, is your communication planting good seed? Well, we saw that the father's communication planted good seed. I'm going to show you just from the word also of a woman in Proverbs 31 who exercised, if you will, nonverbal communication by her actions. In Proverbs 31, 12 to 27, it says that this wife, she does her husband good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. That's what we're supposed to have. God's will, our hands. She is like a ship of a merchant. She brings him the food from afar. She rides while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portion for her maiden. She considers the fields and buys it. And with the fruits of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She is about ensuring that not only is her communication just through verbal, but also through her actions. So again, let's recap to what we were speaking on about communication and what kind of seeds are we planting? Because that father and that wife planted good seeds, and the way they communicated was just about lip service, was I like to say, well, we're talking loud and saying nothing. But not only were they talking loud, they were making things happen through their actions that was loud and clear. Again, so I ask the question, how are we communicating to God, to ourselves, and to others? And the company that I got this information from, Conover Developmental Software and Training Company, says there are five forms of communication. There's listening, there's verbal communication, nonverbal communication, emotional awareness is a form of communication, and written communication. First, it was listening. We know now that in order to be an effective communicator, we must learn and develop the skills of being a good listener. And those five key points were, you have to show interest in the person you're communicating with, interest in what they have to say, and hopefully they're paying attention to what you have to say. You should want be willing to wait for your turn. As again, let patience have a perfect work. Focus on the person you're speaking with. You know, sometimes we get so preoccupied with what we want to say, we're missing everything. And there's a key point as I move into focusing on the person you're speaking with will be about those nonverbal communication cues. Making sure you get understanding. In Proverbs 4:17, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. And I always like this song when Jerry Butler said, ain't understanding mellow. And again, if you miss something, there's nothing wrong with repeating what the person has said to ensure that you understand. You know, the problem with us as individuals, we're so eager to get our own thoughts out, and we're so eager to be right, if you will. Sometimes we miss what is really right. I like to say what is appropriate and what is reasonably acceptable. And in understanding, that's what it's about. You're building a relationship that allows both parties to understand the message that you're trying to convey. That's essential. And this is why we see so many arguments and fights and things of this nature, because truly understanding is not the peanut butter between the two slices of bread. It's not the glue that keeps that situation together. And then we talked about verbal communication. Everybody likes to talk. There's no problem with that. And we want to get our point across. But as I said earlier, we need to develop the skills of listening. And then when we begin to talk, we go back to consider who we're talking to. Sometimes parents can miss that piece because sometimes we're talking to our children as if they're 40-year-olds when they're only 12-year-olds. Their level of experience and knowledge and understanding hasn't reached the plateau or the level that you're at if you're 40. So we have to consider who we're talking to. A lot of times when they act out, it's because you're just supposed to get it because you're thinking instead of an adult when they're at the mindset of a child. And sometimes, even when you're talking adult to adult, it's unreasonable that if you're a scholar, that you're talking to someone who never finished the fifth grade, and that's not an insult to them, but they may not have that academic background you have. So again, considering the audience you're talking to ensure that you have simplified, as Einstein said, because you understand it so someone else can understand it. Then again, we choose our words carefully. I had a friend, he's always, oh, you like to pre-qualify everything you say. Yes, because words have power. Words carry, as the word says, the power of life and death. I want to ensure that whoever I'm speaking with is getting life from the words that I share. I want them to become strong. I want them to become who they need to be in the sense of our communication. So if I'm giving words of encouragement, if I'm elevating, motivating, supporting, teaching, sharing my wisdom, that doesn't mean that it's applicable at the time, but it may be, just again, like talking to your child. If you're communicating with your child at some point and that information just doesn't fit well with them at that time, oh, there's a high probability when they turn 35, it may catch on. Again, I know that's a long time to wait sometime when your child is doing something out of sync. Maybe we can work with altering the behavior, but the communication is important because that's that seed planting. Are we planting good seed? That's that seed planting that we're laying the foundation for them too to be effective communicators through good listening skills and being able to know when to speak and not to speak. As the word says, there's a time and season for everything. And then it says we need to speak clearly. If we're speaking so fast and rate, we're speaking too loud. We're speaking too soft. Sometimes the message gets lost. So we have to make sure that we're speaking clearly enough for the person to understand what we're trying to say. And that all lines up with tonality and rate, because all that helps whether a person can actually understand what you're saying, relate to what you're saying, and depending on how you present it, it can get a person excited, it can bring a person down. If you're talking too monotone, it may even put them to sleep. So those are key essentials, as well as responding appropriately to who you're communicating with. If they have questions, they have things they want to know, and they didn't understand it, don't get defensive. Let us learn how to communicate to be in a position where we're humble enough to receive, I don't like the word criticism, I like to say constructive redirection. So it's important that as we communicate verbally and we communicate non-verbally, or listening, I should say, then we have to work with that. It's kind of like yin and yang. They kind of work together. So now let's get into the non-verbal communication. Peter Drucker, a consultant and a professor in business, points out that although verbal communication is important, spoken words make up only a small part of the communication. The majority of the communication is nonverbal. In fact, research shows that 93% of communication is nonverbal. I would say, since such a high number of communication is nonverbal, it would be essential to pay close attention to the actions as well as the words that people are saying. A lot of times, we're so busy, again, as I talked about, being preoccupied with our own message that we want to get across, we miss a lot of things, those nonverbal cues, if you will. We don't identify what people are doing, if they're in a defense mode, or they're in an offense mode, or they're aggressive, or they're not interested, they're not paying attention. So a lot of things that are really essential for us to understand what a person is saying, we miss it. So what does the word says about nonverbal communication? There are five key points, but I'm going to tell you what the word says just on the first one, about eye contact. In Proverbs 15:30, it says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bone." I can recall a friend of mine, when I looked in her eyes, it had such a sparkle. It had such a delight. It gave me such a feeling of welcomeness and peace that my bones were refreshed. My spirit was refreshed. It made my heart rejoice. So our eye contact is essential. Now, when I was a kid, my granddaddy taught me that, you look a man straight in the eye. Well, he's talking about how that relates to who you're talking to, your audience. So every person that I communicated with, I looked them directly in the eye. My eyes pierced them really hard, And my mother, my sweet mother, she said to me, "Okay, you have to let up on that eye contact because that was just a little too intense." And because sometimes she always says I have a soldier face, which is kind of hard, she says, you got to lighten up. So people, you've heard people say, the eyes are the window to the soul. You don't want people to think that your soul is dark. So we need to make sure that the eye contact is appropriately displayed, if you will. And then they talk about, in relation to how we communicate with people. When they're communicating, as I speak earlier about speech, is the pace or the speed of the speech appropriate to the content of the conversation that you're having? And then they gave another example, which I'm sure most people have heard, about people crossing their arms and crossing their legs. This says a lot, especially in an interview. The interviewer may be looking at you as being the one being interviewed as like you're defensive. You don't want to hear what he has to say. You may be a person that doesn't take instructions well. You're a person that don't take directions well because you got your arms folded, or you may be preoccupied bobbing your leg or what have you. And so these things can be a distraction, and it tells a little about you, because maybe you're a person who could be depressed. You could be a person angry. You could be a person that's anxious. So we have to be careful how we deliver in our body language. So again, posturing and body position. Those things says a lot about a person. Again, the unfortunate part, I heard T.D. Jakes say, "I can't see me, but you can. And I can see you, but you can't see you." So people are observing you, paying attention to you, but you don't know necessarily what you're really doing, or at least the message you're sending across in your body language. So we have to become very conscientious of how we present ourselves. And again, facial expression. Sometimes people can get misinterpreted. I had a pastor one time that everybody thought he was mean. Actually, he was the pastor that married us. And he was the most nicest man you ever want to see. But because of his facial expression, a very stern and kind of strict look, that gave the impression that he was unapproachable. But one of the most nicest persons you ever want to meet. And when he did smile, oh my goodness, it would light up the world. It looked like Ben Vereen, just glowing. It was amazing. So we have to be careful. So these five key points, and when you're communicating with others, it's important. So it's important that we pay attention to the difference between what people are saying and what they are doing. However, you know, we can't be shocked if someone sees us in a different light because our nonverbal cues. So again, we want to make sure that our facial expression lines up with our body language, our posture, because people do notice. Because if what we're saying don't line up with what we're doing, this may create mistrust, uncertainty, confusion when you're talking to someone or they're talking to you. So we want to send the right messages. These things may be seemingly insignificant, but it's what makes the world go round. People do pay attention. I'm sure as I'm speaking to anyone in the audience, I'm sure you've noticed this through the course of your life, how people communicate. Do they communicate with their hands? We know that our president is one that uses his hands a lot, that sometimes can be distracted. That I forgot the gentleman's name who's running for president. Even the president said that he uses hands too much. Sometimes that can be distracting. So these little things can have a diversion from the message you're trying to deliver. So it's essential that we pay attention to our nonverbal communication. So what does the word say? Psalms 19 says this: the heaven declares the glory of God. The sky proclaims the works of his hand. Day after day, he pours forth speech. Night and day, and they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words, no sound. Yet their voice goes out into all the world. Their words to the end of the world, if you will. So our words have power. The way we deliver has power. And it can have such an influence on people's lives. We may think that our verbal skills, our nonverbal skills, our listening skills don't have a big significance. But, oh, it does. And we just noted that 93% of that is nonverbal. So developing those ways of communicating is essential. Now let's talk about the emotional awareness in communication. Emotional awareness in communication is often misunderstood and seldom ever discussed or taught. And I know that emotional intelligence is a big buzzword in society, in the workplace and talking about in families and what have you, because now people are recognizing that it is important to understand one's emotions and other people's emotions. And many times we miss that. Feelings play a big role in communicating. Emotional awareness or the ability to understand feelings will help us succeed when communicating with others. If you are emotionally aware, you will communicate better. You will notice the emotions of other people, how the way they feel, how their feelings influence the way they communicate. We don't give much credence to that a lot of time. Matter of fact, we even try to downplay emotions. But emotions are essential. From my personal standpoint, I would say that most people don't operate out of rationality and logic. They operate out of their emotions first, and then rationality and logic kicks in. The prisons are filled with that. People emotionally reacting. Husbands, for example, get upset and hurt their wives. Now they're in prison. Someone at the job gets upset. Used to be the thing called going postal, where people let their emotions get in the way because they didn't entertain the logic and rationality of their behavior. So it's important we pay attention to that. See, the more we understand what people are communicating from an emotional standpoint, the better we can respond appropriately, verbally, nonverbally, as well as how we listen to people. It's important that listening skill kicks in because that allows you to understand what someone is trying to say from an emotional standpoint, because words carry power. And a lot of times you hear people saying, I feel this, I feel that, I feel you don't love me, I feel you don't care, I feel, see, emotions are always kicking in, despite even if the person is doing everything under the sun. But when people don't understand their own emotions, They don't understand the emotions of others. This becomes a struggle. And we talked about in my previous sessions about knowing thyself, developing thyself, loving thyself. This is why that's so important, because then you get a better understanding of doing the check and balance on one's emotions. So you don't be reactive, you be proactive. So emotions are truly important. The key points, again, about emotions, you know, as we say, instead of trying to hide or ignore your feelings, focus on becoming aware of your feelings and the feelings of those around you in order to be a better, effective communicator. So, again, here's five more key points. Consider other people's feelings. We all have some idea about our own feelings. But, again, I always like to say, and I had a friend, she's transitioned to God now, but she always used to say, Dave would always tell us that it's important to try to understand people versus judging. Don't judge to criticize, but to understand, because you don't know what their background may be. You don't know where they come from. You don't know how they were reared. You don't know what living conditions they're in. You don't know what they experienced through their life. You don't know their story unless they told you. And if they told you, it gives you a better understanding why they do what they do. Because we're not a product of just now. We're a product of our history. All that it involves, whether it's the way we were raised, what kind of environment we lived in, who the people we interacted with, you know, all these things play into how we interact with one another. So it's important that when you see people responding, more so from an emotional standpoint, it is important to consider their feelings. And then consider your own feelings in the dynamics of that interaction. Because in a dyad where the two individuals may have different views or opinions about things, and sometimes they draw in another person that got to get that support, sometimes we miss something because we want to be right. And I always say that being right is a personal thing. Right or wrong is somewhat personal. But what is appropriate and what is reasonable is what I like to consider. Obviously, this is my personal opinion, but it has worked for me because it allows me to be neutral and open to the variables that I may not be aware of. And once I get that information, I can go to the third point of being more empathetic. I can relate to them. I can put myself in their shoes. I can identify with them a little better. I may not experience it, but I worked in the medical field for 30-something years. I saw a lot of things happen that was absolutely terrible. Now, I've never been shot, but I understood what the pain looked like from that person because I could put myself in that person's place, especially since I was a soldier and had been shot a great deal. I just was fortunate not to get the luck of the draw. So we need to learn how to identify with other people's feelings and our own and be able to do the check and balance. And all this comes into a major key point. Operating out of trust. We need to develop trusting relationships with each other. We need to respect one another. See, trust is essential. As I used to tell the gentlemen over in theater or we was in the war zone, I would always say, no one's going to follow you if they don't trust you. No child is going to follow a parent if they don't trust you. No one wants to listen to a therapist if they don't trust you. No one wants you to be involved in their business if they don't trust you. Trust is essential. And again, through these abilities to communicate, it is important that we recognize the importance of trust and recognizing the importance of misunderstanding, but last but not least. Sometimes we may misunderstand something, but we need to recognize the importance of trying to make those corrections. And in the word, it says in Luke 27, he says that love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbors as yourself. So I'm going to conclude with, as a spiritual individual, we need to look for the divine, the destiny meaning of a higher purpose. We practice peace, empathy, connection, and reverence, which helps us to release the stress and tension to seek practical, valuable ways of communicating. So, again, I'm your host, David Patterson. I thank you for listening. My prayers are with everyone, and we know that if we trust in God, he will provide all we need according to his riches and glory. There be no lack of communication because God will ensure that we get understanding. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.